Before I begin, just this personal word, I have to mention once more being down for that wedding at the marina. As many of you know, I enjoy fishing, and it was just a beautiful sight for me to behold all those grouper that were lined up as the fleet was coming back in, all those charter boats. And so after the wedding, I had my robe in my arm, and I went down to where they were cleaning the fish behind the boats and offered a blessing for some of the boats, of course. And in return, I said I only needed a couple of grouper fillets. I had fish for dinner. Today is the third sermon in this series on prayer, praying God's will, looking at not just the Lord's Prayer, but oftentimes the instructions Jesus gives us that precede the Lord's Prayer or about prayer in the New Testament. And today the first scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. After this section, Jesus indeed teaches his disciples what is now known as the prayer of our Lord, the Lord's Prayer. But these are the verses that precede it. Concerning prayer, Jesus says, "And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." And then the second scripture reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, which you find in the Pew Bible on page 919. Listen as I again read from God's Word. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as we have read the Scriptures, and now as your word is proclaimed, may we hear with joy the message you have for each one of us. In Christ's name, amen. Notice that before Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he told them a little bit about how not to pray. How interesting. For example, Jesus said, "Don't pray to the audience. Don't pray to be seen by others. Don't pray to be seen as holy or show off." Perhaps that's one of the anxieties I sometimes have when I'm in a restaurant and I'm often expected to pray for the meal with those gathered. Sometimes we hear that when others pray, and we really shouldn't question the integrity of others when we hear them pray, those who say grace at Jason's Deli or even at Chick-fil-A. But sometimes you wonder if praying conspicuously in a crowd is just simply letting your light shine, or is it posturing to people? We wonder what the motives are when we hear that prayer. Jesus, however, went further here. Notice that he said, "If you sense you are putting on a show, then go into your room." In some translations it says, "Go into a closet and pray, and your Father will reward you with something else." And I would suggest to you that reward is God's very presence, because you are aware of that so much more when you are alone with God. Years ago, when Bill Moyers worked at the White House as press secretary for Lyndon Johnson, President Johnson would often call on Bill Moyers to give a prayer before a meeting or before a meal. And Moyers tells the story that one time he was praying and President Johnson interrupted him and said, "Bill, louder, I can't hear you." And Moyers replied to the president, "With all due respect, Mr. President, I wasn't praying to you." Well, notice that Jesus went on here to say there is really no value in prayer when you just offer up many words and empty phrases. The Quaker author, Elton Trueblood, he wrote once about the Lord's Prayer that we use every Sunday in worship. And he cautioned against such frequent use because it can run the danger of us chanting thoughtless words over and over. Quaker worship, as you know, prefers much more silence than we enjoy in worship. But after all, said Trueblood, Jesus didn't say, pray these words and these syllables over and over every time you have a worship service. No, he said, Jesus instead said, pray like this. And so then the Lord's Prayer becomes a model prayer. And I can tell you, every phrase in the Lord's Prayer is loaded with meaning. Forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses. It's another way to say, forgive us of our past sins. Oh Lord, give us our daily bread. Give us that which we need today. Give us that which we need in the present. Oh Lord, your will be done in the future. And so it brings all of time, the past, the present, and the future, to the whole of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a perfect model prayer, and we should consider every phrase before we pray that prayer and after, and meditate upon its rich meaning for us. And whether you agree with Trueblood or not, we should not offer up and heap up empty phrases in our prayers. Just notice Jesus goes on before teaching the Lord's Prayer. He goes on and gives us this challenge. He says, don't waste time in prayer by offering many words. In other words, giving God too much data, too much information. Think about that for a minute. I suspect Jesus may be talking to those folks, some of us clergy perhaps, because he mentions when you're in the synagogues, do not offer up many phrases, many words. Perhaps like this sample prayer, let me give it a try. Heads up, O Lord, it's Sunday, June 16th. Here we are in worship on our next to State Road 580 there near Landmark Drive. And it's been raining all week, if you did not know it, Lord. And today is Father's Day. It's also Trinity Sunday. And we gather to consider how to pray your will. And here we are praying. Amen. Now, in that sample prayer, which was very bad, I almost added the zip code. Here we are at 2875 State Road 580, 33761, Lord, just in case the prayer would not be lost as it reaches heaven. Some public prayers can be that bad. Many words, too much data. Someone I know will then say, well, what's the value of praying at all? Because it says in this passage that your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask. Hold on to that. We'll come to it in just a moment. But let's go further. Prayer, does it not? It serves no purpose and is of little value if prayer is simply used like magic. Just what we want to get, like that Aladdin movie, rubbing the bottle and expecting the genie to come out and grant our wish. You may have heard of the young boy who was taking a history examination, and he could not remember the capital of Florida, and so he prayed during the exam, "Oh Lord, May Kenneth City be the capital of Florida. I don't think God would ever answer that prayer, do you? But sometimes we treat God as if God were a genie in the bottle who would be called out to do our bidding. Sometimes our prayers, are they not? Our prayers are SOS prayers. I pray these prayers too, make no mistake about it, especially when life is on the edge. I have a younger brother. 25 years ago, he had a spinal cord injury. He's been a quadriplegic for most of his adult life. And this week, he developed septic shock from an abscess. And his vital statistics were very poor. And I told my mother, do not be alarmed if they put him on a ventilator, because the oxygen is being taken by the other organs and his blood pressure will drop and his heart rate will drop and his brain will be confused. And he was. He could not remember the last 3 days. But now, because of the good doctors and the nurses and the protocols that they have, he is doing much better. And he is waiting, I can tell you, for that ventilator to come out and for him to go home. Prayer and pray, I would encourage you, at the time of every need, even if it is an SOS prayer. But remember this, I have a phrase that I read this week. I think I'll place it on the church sign this week. It says, is your faith in God a steering wheel or a spare tire? Which is it? I remember visiting a man in the hospital once, and at the end of the visit, I said, would you like me to say a prayer? And he frowned and began to look worried, and he said, is it really that bad, Pastor? It's like Shakespeare in the play, The Tempest. There is a scene where there is a storm-tossed sea, and the panicked sailors cry out, all is lost, all is lost. To prayers. Consider this. What if our God is for more than just emergencies? What if Jesus himself taught us to go into a room and close the door so that we might understand a relationship with the Lord and feel God's presence? That's what he does before he teaches us this model prayer. Well, I've mentioned several negatives about prayer. Let me mention the worst dilemma of them all, and that's when prayers seem to be unanswered. Perhaps you have noticed, like I have, a lot of small religious books close to the checkout counter in stores, and they're supposed to be little hot items, very inexpensive, and it's almost like, oh, I can take this. It's not very much. I've written down some of the titles. There's one little pamphlet called The Power of Prayer. Another, Prayer and the Power of Healing Through Prayer. Another, Prayer Changes Things. And I want to say to you as sincerely as I can, there are many times that these promises are true when we pray, because prayer does change things. Prayer brings about healing. Prayer is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. They put us in touch with the creator of the universe, our eternal Father. But there are times that prayer seems unanswered. When you ask for some good release from something, or healing for those that you love, or some resolution from conflict, and sometimes it seems it does not happen. What do we do then? Do we give up on prayer? Do we finish with our prayers? Is prayer pointless, we might think? Ah, but you say, preacher, now you've done it. Now you've gone and done it. Aren't you supposed to be on faith's side and not ever mention the negative? Of course not. We have doubts and we should acknowledge them, but it is enough to say that we do have doubts, but we also have hope. And let me tell you then, because my message is not to give up on prayer at all. On the contrary, the message I'm sharing with you today is to say, stay with it. Be patient. Pray boldly. Keep praying constantly. And why do I say this? For several reasons. The first reason is this. Because the point and purpose of prayer is a personal conversation with God. Go into your room and pray. Though all else fell in prayer, when you peel back the onion, there is that. There is that relationship that you achieve with the Creator of the universe, the Eternal One. In prayer, nothing is more crucial than that encounter. The evangelist Dwight L. Moody, he once told how his little boy came into his study when he was preparing a sermon. And he was frustrated by the interruption. He said, "What do you want?" And he said, "Daddy," he said, "I just want to be with you." How must warm the heart of God to have us come into God's presence, His very presence, just to be there. And so keep on praying, because if all else fails, you will still be where Jesus loved to be and where the scriptures teach us He was often, and that was in prayer with His Father, in the secret place of the Most High, we're told. Well, secondly, keep on praying until you reach the perfect prayer. And you know what the perfect prayer is. The perfect prayer is the prayer of submission. And submission does not mean to give up. It doesn't mean that at all. It means to say, "Oh Lord, in my life, may Your will be done. Not my prideful will, but Your will." It sounds like resignation, but it's not. And the plainest way I can say it this morning is this. If you are saying that God is your co-pilot in life, then there may be times that you need to move over because you may well be in the wrong seat. And that's not resignation, it's recognition, is it not? Thirdly, keep praying until you're changed. I have found over and over that prayer, oftentimes that I pray to God, does not change God's mind, but it changes me. It will change you if you pray often enough. You will find yourself refreshed, renewed, strengthened, and of course, connected to God. I have confirmation on this. Just a few months ago, I was visiting with someone who was caring for a loved one, and they said, "I oftentimes think I just cannot continue to do this. But then, Pastor, I stop and I pray, and I am renewed, and I am strengthened, and I can do it another day." Finally, keep praying. Pray boldly, because you can believe with all your heart and mind that whatever you pray, your prayers are corrected in heaven. You may not have heard that before, but it's true. Goodness knows we often pray selfishly. We often whine in our prayers. We often rage in our prayers. We often pray prayers when we're not in them. But I believe God wants to hear from us. I believe God chooses not to intrude in our lives. I do not believe that God is our Father in heaven who wants to pry and read His children's mail. I believe He waits for an honest word from us to hear us. And most importantly, even when our prayers are unworthy and too wordy, the Bible reminds us, as I said, they get heard in the right way because the Spirit of God corrects them for us. It says this in the letter of Romans that I read. It's the most comforting passage you can read about unanswered prayer and wondering what I should pray. It reads, "The Spirit helps us, for we do not know how to pray." And the Spirit, it continues, "The Spirit of God intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words." There it is. That's worth remembering. Tony Campolo, I've had several meetings with Tony Campolo, several lunches, and He says it in his own unique kind of bombastic way, if you've ever heard him, Tony Campolo. He says sometimes when he prays all wrong, but then in his own unique way, he says, but no sweat, no sweat at all. He says, when we finish praying, the Holy Spirit prays the prayer that we should have prayed and would have prayed if we were spiritually mature enough. And then he says, it is as though at the end of my prayer, the Holy Spirit turns to the Father and says, Father, I know that Tony prayed a stupid prayer, but this is what he really wanted to pray and what he really wanted to say to you. And then the Spirit corrects the prayer with sighs too deep for words. So pray boldly. Pray often. Pray in times of emergency. Pray in times of thanksgiving. Grow close to God. Come near in every need or sorrow, for God's presence is available to us in every hour. And let us take advantage of that just now as we close in prayer. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are closer than we dare stop to imagine or think possible. Remind us of this great truth. And remind us that you have done marvelous things in our lives, and then when we understand that, may we go out from here to sing new songs and pray new and bolder prayers to you. In Christ's name, amen.